Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
So glad you're with us here on a PGP. Welcome inside the show about the show within the show. We peel back the curtain on the show with your Permission Granted podcast. Multiple ways you can download this and listen to it. It's available on the DA Show podcast feed. It's also available on its own podcast feed. Either one of those, if you can rate and review us, that'd be great. It helps other people find a little bit easier if they search for it. We appreciate that very much. And a little reminder that the 12 DAs of Christmas continues all week long. Monday was number 12. Tuesday, number 11. We'll continue through this week and the next week with the top 12 moments of the DA Show's year each and every morning. We also post those on Twitter every single day and on YouTube every single day. So if you want to relive the 12 DAs and you don't catch the show live, you could check it out on social media and on YouTube as well. And Miraz, I think the 12 DAs have actually spawned the last 2 days two new 12 DA qualifiers or entrants. And it's because yesterday the 12 DA was about Dunstan Checks In,
right,
and the subject matter of Mothership at the Movies, which somehow got us to Peter Schwartz hosting a birthday party for his kid where James Harden showed up and Schwartz tried to get James Harden to pay for everything. And then today it was Schwartz giving his thoughts on the 2020 election as number 11 in the 12 DAs, which spawned a bit about Schwartz going to the Long Island Ducks game for the holiday flash sale and his kids running into Quacker McQuack. What was the
Quacker Jack is the mascot.
Quacker
Full respect
Jack
on his name.
Quacker Jack, the Long Island Ducks mascot, ending up being a chain smoker and shooing away the Schwartz kids.
And not then, the musical group, by the way, an actual chain smoker.
Yeah. And then then we played it a second time, as we always do the 12 DAs, and the second time spawned a bit about Schwartz's historic tweet to Donald Trump the week of his election asking for French fries to be brought back to school lunches, which, as I mentioned on the show, I could sit here and try to write the perfect joke about Schwartz for years and never come up with something that perfect. So it spawned three hilarious fits of laughter the last 2 days, and two of which today only. We usually have good bits on the show where I laugh. I don't know. Today is the hardest I've laughed in a long time on the show with those two different bits.
My stomach was absolutely hurting in lines. Every hour was something else. And Yeah, to top it off with, it's almost like so criminal that it happened so late in the show, revisiting the Schwartz tweet to Trump about French fries. And as you said, you couldn't write a joke more perfect because it's so perfect for both, right? It was like an SNL bit of the president doing, you know, Trump doing all his important stuff like French fries at schools, yet mixed with the perfect mockery of what Schwartz would ask. And that really happened. That exchange of Twitter really happened.
It defies all logic.
It kills me.
That Schwartz, upon the inauguration of a president, thought the first thing he was going to tweet and the only thing he was going to tweet at the president was to return unhealthy foods to school lunch. I mean, you just couldn't even believe it. Like, it'd be one thing if on the side, like Schwartz was like, man, it's kind of a bummer that there's no French fries anymore because I used to love French fries. It'd be another thing if you really felt like the president needed to step in and say, no. We want more unhealthy foods returning to school lunches. And now, like that's what a president would step in his first act of office be.
Right. And it should be worth noting, and the PGP is all about peeling back the curtain. If we really take this Schwartz and Trump tweet and layer it here for a second, people might look at that and go, well, what a good joke made by Schwartz to tweet the president. Ha, ha. No, he's serious. Like,
oh,
that
so
needs
serious.
To be stated. Like, he was serious. He was definitely bothered because that was a big thing as we basically play crosstalk here as we talk politically. A big thing was that Obama really did clean up and try to get kids healthier and take away some, like, real fatty, oily foods. He had that whole movement in schools, and people were thrilled. Like, okay, our kids are going to start eating healthier. And the only person in America not thrilled was Schwartz because he ate French fries at school, so his kids should. So he was asking the new president.
He was serious.
Like, he was serious. That wasn't him making a joke, which makes it so much better.
It's just so crazy because if you were to ask the president to step in with education, it would definitely be like, for better funding for schools, better pay for teachers.
Right.
You know, even better funding for after school activities like sports. You would understand the cries, the pleas of the public if they were looking for that from schools. And you could also imagine the flip side of Schwartz's tweet being, hey, we want to make sure we don't have a bunch of obese kids. So why don't we stress nutritional information and try to allow kids to be healthier? You could understand that. The one thing you can't really understand is wanting the president to step in to undo healthy stuff. Especially when, okay, if your kid doesn't eat French fries at school, he can definitely eat them at home.
Right. So now here's another twofold part of this. I can't believe that this is where we're going with I never would have guessed when I woke up today this is where we were going with the PGP, but it has to be done. The two-pronged approach to this is Schwartz has put out how much bad food him and his family eat, like, all the time, right? We always find out where they're eating because it's always a picture, and it's always an obsession. So he knows that no matter what, even if him and his wife had this discussion, like, wow, okay, so the schools are really getting cleaned up. Kids aren't going to eat like we did. Like, if you really cared about having your kid have French fries, they're getting them at home anyway, so who cares? Like, I would look at that as a blessing. Like, all right, even if I slip up on my healthy eating, at least I know my kids are getting taken care of healthy-wise in school. But no, he's pushing the agenda for more trans fats shoved down their throat at all times. And the other part of this is, you know, we just, you know, went through this year with Tiger King was out and people were like, oh, you know, Joe Exotic's in jail. Can we get Trump to pardon him? And people were like, well, that's so ridiculous, but this might be just the president that would do something like that. That it almost speaks to how ridiculous Schwartz's tweet was, because that could have been answered. Like, that, you know, like, he could have saw that tweet. Trump could have saw Schwartz's tweet and thought it was important enough to answer. That's how outrageous the tweet was that Schwartz actually didn't get an answer, because it shows how irrelevant it was, because that's the kind of thing that could have warranted an answer.
Pete killed me in the clip because he says, can we bring back the McDLT?
Oh, man.
That, like, that's what Schwartz would ask for, and then you were killing me when you said Trump has responded to every tweet for 4 years except Schwartz's.
Yes.
The only tweet he didn't respond to. Oh, it's just perfect. Like, it's like Schwartz going, hey, can we get more sodas in school? Can we bring back more soda?
Well, remember, there was that point in time where we worked with Pete where I believe it was the mayor of New York City was taking away, like, supersized sodas or the big gulp at 7-Eleven, whatever it was. Like, the extra, like, no sodas could be over 16 ounces. I think that was, like, going to be the rule in New York City. And it was former producer at CBS Sports Radio, Ray Martell, mixed with Peter Schwartz. And they had an outrage. And they basically were ready to go protest outside the mayor's house. Like, I get, might have been de Blasio, whoever, Bloomberg, whoever it was. And they were basically going nuts. How dare anybody dictate how much soda they could have? I mean, this is a long line of wanting to get politicians involved in eating and drinking unhealthy.
It is remarkable. And look, I can understand if you're kind of like walking down the line there of infringement upon civil liberties, and you're like, hey, the government shouldn't tell me what I can eat or drink. That'd be one thing. But these guys are just it's inconvenient for them to buy their own 2-liter bottle of soda and put it in their own mug. They just want the convenience of going to the gas station on the way into work and having somebody do it for them. I mean, the epitome of lazy.
Well, and look, you can talk about civil liberties all you want. You might be right. Think of the sources, though. When we're talking about a Peter Schwartz or Ray Martell, they don't even know what civil liberties mean. That's not what they're going after at all. It's just about being as fat as possible.
And they're both supremely unhealthy.
I mean, both of them eat White Castle for breakfast. I mean, that to me, again, big alarm going off.
So not to belabor the Schwartz point, but I was mentioning this on the show today.
Oh, you mean multiple segments and the first 10 minutes of the PGP isn't belaboring it?
He has not worked an hour show in 6 years now, nearly 6 years. What do you think it is about Schwartz that we just simply can't stop laughing at him? He should be far in our rear view, but yet every time we bring him up, we all crack up laughing.
Well, it's too far gone not to talk about him at this point because he's just an ever-developing story. And I think it's just, and I sincerely mean this from a TV editor's point of view, reality TV is so enormous, right? Everybody loves The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. I'm really trying not to make a light of this, right? And social media is so prevalent where we know what everybody's doing on a daily basis, and we get tired of people, we hate people, we have arguments. You talked about my Home Alone argument. You hate Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train, right? Like, we all know the shticks on Twitter. And yet, here's Peter Schwartz, who's somebody we've worked with, somebody our listeners are familiar with, and he has found the most amazing combination of what would be great reality television mixed with a Twitter, Facebook timeline where every day is an eye-rolling post and it's always something new but always something typical that honestly, if TV producers got a handle on, we've talked about, you know, what Honey Boo Boo and all these other little, you know, the people that they found on all these reality shows become stars. The Schwartz family living the life they live based on everything he posts on social media would be a sensational show for E! And I think that's what gets us gravitating to it. We are seeing reality TV with a personal connection for us.
The fact that he posts so often keeps him front and center in our lives. Had he just gone dark after we no longer worked with him, it'd be much harder because we didn't have fresh content. But now, boy, we just got every day is fresh content. And he always plays character. It's never out of character. He always plays to type. So it's just perfect. And look, every time I know I can make Pete laugh when I bag on Schwartz. I know it's a home run every time. And I love making Pete laugh because he's the one guy I talk to during breaks, you know, because I'm talking to you over G-Chat. I'm talking to Bogues over G-Chat and Kaplan over G-Chat. But me and Bilotti actually talk to one another down the line during commercial breaks. So I know during commercial breaks, if I make fun of Pete Schwartz, when I make fun of Schwartz, Bilotti's going to laugh. And if I do it on the show, he's really going to laugh. And I love getting Pete to laugh. I just love it. So it's just something that is the gift that keeps on giving. And Schwartz gives us so much content that sometimes I wonder, oh boy, do the listeners get it? But it seems like they get it because of the tweets that we receive after making fun of Schwartz and doing these bits.
Put it this way, if you don't get a Schwartz bit when we do it on the show, it's the first day you're listening to the show.
Right,
almost
right.
Every day. And by tomorrow, you're going to get the next bit we move on to. Which is why on Monday's show, when on Sunday everybody's focused on the NFL. I mean, everybody's tweeting about the NFL. You can't get enough. It's a good slate on Monday. The Browns are, you know, the upsets galore. And there's Schwartz with the Stanley Cup hoisting thing at the crowd for deck hockey. And I had to bring that up with Bogus's update. Oh. I knew the listeners would get a hold of, get a kick out of it because, of course, of course, that day had to be about that family and not about the NFL.
Sunday is a day-long NFL carnival, and Schwartz posted about his son winning a deck hockey Stanley Cup.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you can't even call it a Stanley Cup. It's deck hockey under 12 championship or something.
Yeah, whatever it was, it happened. And again, the only parent that was able to bully his way in a pandemic on the rink for celebration, just to film Bradley hoisting the cup.
Today was momentous for another reason. Peter King gave me a good question. That's a good question, Damon, when I asked him about the Joe Judge and the Mara family maybe having a little twinkle in their eye going back to Bill Parcells and seeing a little Parcells in Joe Judge.
That was big. Peter King has been around, obviously, you noted, one of the longest tenured NFL writers, guy covering the NFL forever. You know, does a bunch of interviews a week, writes one of the biggest columns that everybody reads weekly. And for you, for a guy who does interviews like Peter King does and gets interviewed, for you to get that, I've heard Peter King do a lot of interviews, so that's a really good question. That's got to be an ego inflator there because you dug something up. And you were very much, you noted, play to Peter King, though. Peter King is similar to Belichick, where if you bring up something from like the 80s Giants, there's going to, or Peter King, the old Bengals, there's going to be a twinkle. And you just by mentioning Parcells and tying it to something, Pete lit up like a Christmas tree over the phone today.
So this is interesting because I don't know if you know the backstory. Me and Peter King have had, he doesn't know this, maybe he does, but we were pitted against one another in one of those top 10 shows. It was about, it was about the 07 Patriots, and I don't remember if it was the top 10 teams never to win a championship. I think it was. So the 07 Patriots come up, and my point that I believe is that going undefeated and the chase for the undefeated ended up wearing down the Patriots. That you remember the Giants nearly upset them in Week 17. They were underwhelming in their AFC Championship game win over the Chargers in a game where LaDainian Tomlinson was out, I think, and then Phillip Rivers, that was the ACL game, he was playing with half a leg, basically.
Right. The Chargers were definitely beat up.
They didn't blow out the Chargers at home. I think they had beaten the Jaguars, if I'm not mistaken, in the divisional round, so who cares? And then they lose to the Giants, and I use a soundbite from Teddy Bruschi, who said the pressure of mounting, of going undefeated, started to wear on us. And I go back to the 98 Broncos, where Terrell Davis and others said that they went 13-0 when they lost to the Giants, ironically enough, in Week 14, and then they lost to the Dolphins in Week 15. It cleaned the slate for them. Mark Schlereth has talked about this. It kind of gave them new life. They didn't have to worry about undefeated in history. They just had to worry about winning a championship. So I really believe that factored in. Well, anyway, the producers, the editors of this top 10 show put me saying, I think it mattered. And then they immediately edit to Peter King saying, anybody that says that going undefeated or trying to affect the Patriots doesn't know football or is an idiot or something like that. So they pitted me against King. Now, I don't know if Peter King ever watched that episode. I certainly did, so I knew this. And he wasn't saying it because he didn't know what I had said. I'm sure the Patriot or the producers were just saying, hey, what do you think about people that, you know, suggest this theory? But so me and King, I've always felt like there might be a little bit of an underhanded, like he thinks I'm a boob. Either he saw that or people have brought that up to him. Or maybe I've tweeted about it. I don't know. But I've always felt like there might have been a little bit of a little discomfort there. So for him to say that's a really good question, maybe the hatchet was buried today.
I think so. I think Peter King now, if he goes back and rewatches any of the NFL top 10s and really wants to wipe your smug look off your face, remembering that 07 episode, I think now he has more respect for you as an interviewee, and maybe you'll be more prone to come on more often knowing that he never knows what kind of question he's getting from a DA, I think, perhaps.
This also brings us to Zach Gelb, who does the evening show, and he did a cookie taste testing last night, and you had some thoughts on this. Now, Zach, we've done cookie taste testing. We've done potato chip taste testing. Do you think that doing taste testing in general is taking a page out of our playbook, or is that generic enough to where if it was different enough from us, it'd be okay?
Well, I think if it's different enough, it's probably okay. And I don't want to act like we're the first people to ever think of eating something before. I mean, you need it to live and
certainly
do
a radio bit that has lived for a long time, eating sure. on the radio.
So, and believe me, I like to think we're original, but I know not always are we original. Of course, I'm not that idiotic, but I will say this. At CBS Sports Radio, it was established a long time ago, we are the food show. Almost so much that bosses hated that we did so much food at the beginning, and then it embraced it and became part of the show to the point bosses love it. We can't get by without doing something food-related, and I think any time you do anything food-related on CBS Sports Radio, I think a common courtesy would be to look into how we did it, what we did, and make sure you're not blatantly ripping off of it. And I think Zach Gelb has a disregard for that, frankly.
You think it's a disregard for how we've handled it in the past and not giving us proper...
Right. I think the best, is it the best form of flattery is copycat? What is the saying?
Imitation's the sincerest form of flattery.
Okay, so that was a lot bigger words than I would have been used to, and that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. So I think it's flattering if Zach Gelb goes down the road and doing a lot of our food bits, but it does come across a little disingenuous where he does the whole thing and basically there's not even a hat tip to, hey, I know most Decembers or last December you saw the DA show do something like this. You know, and it'd be one thing if it's once. I mean, he constantly is doing the food stuff, constantly doing the bits that we do, and it's just, you know, not even ever a hat tip. Not even a hat tip.
Well, he's a big guy. He's a big boy. I don't know how much he weighs, but he's a tall guy and
yes,
he's big.
Yes, he is. He is big.
So his does that ego, give...
Ego, I was going to say, he's even bigger, but that's... Yeah.
Does that give him more leash, though, than to do eating stuff? Because
sure. Look,
he's probably the biggest host we have on the network, wouldn't you say?
That's, yeah, you know, that's probably accurate. So, yeah, I think that there's room for that. I think, you know, if he wants to incorporate food, I think that's a trend of sports radio to combine the two. I don't have an issue with that, more or less, but you're all on the same network as the godfathers of food talk on radio. At least either be more original with it or hat tip us. Like, you can't go down both roads. And Zach, by the way, we do a breaking news that we didn't get on the show. Took a shot at me that I'm not happy with and I'm kind of stewing at as I look over at my computer.
Oh, no. What happened?
So, you know, I called him out on it. I said, you know, I made the Connor Green jokes. And, you know, I did it my typical I'm going to poke the bear way, which you knew was going to happen. And he came back and said, relax, you guys do chip tasting, you know, do cookie tasting, to which I responded with the video of Katie Linendoll grading our cookie bits last year. His response to that, DA, also, the Brady Papinga interview was on December 1st. Do your job and get DA that cut in a timely fashion next time, not a week later. Don't like that. I don't like the tenor in that. I don't like calling me out of my job. I don't like any of that.
So... So did he respond at all to how we did do the cookie taste testing last year?
I want to be clear. No, he did not. That was his response to that. So he got defensive because he knew he was had when I showed him video proof of the steal by bringing up us playing sound on him. So basically, DA, this is real time here. What I would do if I received this tweet at 7 p.m. is rattle off the following. We waited till it was relevant, but that would take a shot at him, and I don't want to do that. I can either do that, I can ignore the tweet, or I could come up with something a little more craftier and friendlier.
Well, that would also be a little insincere, though, because I don't think you knew that Papinga said that on the Gelb show.
I did not. Matter of fact, you sent it to us last week with a big reminder to get to it this week. So,
I found it last week. I was on our website clicking around, and I'm like, wait a second. Who said that Taysom Hill was better than Joe Burrow? Wait a second. I clicked on this, and I saw that Papinga had said that basically Taysom Hill is better than every quarterback in the NFL not named Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, where did he say this? Oh, he said this on our network? Oh, my God, we have to talk about this. And then we were going to do it maybe Friday, and then we got into football Friday. Then we were going to do it Monday, but then we had a reaction to Sunday, so then we played it on Tuesday. So,
Yeah, like, I don't want to know that war. I just want a little of acknowledgement, but it seems like there was at least a missile fired this way trying to stir war. So I need to meet with the council and see what we have as far as the weapons go and see how to handle this now. I did not like that. I did not like. Look, a lot of people take pot shots at any of my work. I don't need it from a Zach Gill stealing bits. I don't need that.
Because if there's anything that is your signature, I will say it is food related on CBS Sports Radio. You have
it's the only thing I do well.
You've staked out that territory for 8 years, and this was well before Zach worked on the airwaves, well before he had his own show, well before he even had a weekend show. You had been the food guy dating back to 2013.
Yeah, I have been. Man versus fat. That basically has been me. I mean, we've had BT wrestling with bears. We've had a lot of people do a lot of good things.
He didn't wrestle the bears. He was one of the hosts of a show that wrestled bears.
He hosted. So the point is, people have dipped their toes in a lot of things. I dipped my fat toes in food. I've brought it to the surface. And if other people want to talk food, that's fine. But don't challenge me in saying that you weren't original in a bit that involved food. You tasted cookies, Christmas cookies on the air and graded them. We did that a year ago. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to bring up that I didn't do a job from a week ago. A lot of saltiness here, and they don't involve the cookies.
I will say that I think the 12 DAs have been a raging success already. I know that there was some conversation today mid-show, which was interesting, about whether Pete the Body's rant against baby races should have been higher because that was Pete the Body's trash today. We thought, well, maybe both you and Bogus had brought up, maybe, DA, your impersonation of Schwartz doing election coverage could have been lower and pop up the baby race rant. But interestingly, when we then reheard it, sometimes you listen to it again the second time in a show and it's less funny. It almost seemed like we found it more funny the second time.
I completely agree. I definitely found it funnier the second time. And the only thing I could say is maybe we weren't quite awake and on top of just how funny it was the first hour. By the time we've already had a good laughing show, you listen to it that last hour, maybe it made it funnier. And it also should be said when talking about this, Pete hurt himself by putting us on high alert for maybe this 12 DA wasn't as funny. And I think because of Pete's trash, we might have found it even funnier when we re-listened, because Pete basically challenged us that this wasn't that funny. And rarely, DA, in the history of the 7 years of DA show, and this has been the group we've been with the most, Bogus and Bilotti, but we've had a lot of people on the show with a lot of funny moments. Never before today, and this includes me, and I pat myself on the back a lot, have we had a member of the DA show basically stand up and scream why they were funnier than another moment in the 12 DAs the way Pete did on Trash Tuesday, which is the ultimate look at me move that should not be overlooked and not be forgotten. And he challenged the staff that he was funnier than a moment, that now the moment became funnier as a result. And he did that to himself.
I just think it's a compliment to the entire year that Pete the Body's baby race rant was so good and yet couldn't crack the top 12. That's how good this year has been of straight laughing. So it was a great rant. Don't get me wrong. It is a great rant.
Great.
Shouldn't take anything away from it. But so far, I think the rankings have been fair. I think the rankings have been appropriate. To this point in time, I have not heard anything that I've said, you know what, that got screwed, as we've unfolded everything.
And I wanted to be clear, too, as I am the master of all things 12 DAs back here. There have been plenty of years, if not every year, where based on whatever calculated system I've come up with, like the BCS, to get our rankings, where we've made a point of swapping things one spot or another so that stuff doesn't sound too similar a couple days in a row. To this point, we have not done that. Everything has been played basically, you know, other than the first four out, we're played in a different order, in the order in which they were correctly voted by all of us on the show. So I think that it's gotten off to a good start, and I think everything has been placed where we believe it should be placed. And frankly, if you don't have debate following these 12 DAs, I don't think we're doing the job. Part of the fun of listening back to the moments is debating whether they're properly ranked. So I think that is all-encompassing over these couple weeks.
A couple of weeks ago, you went over the voting system and the scoring system for this with Bogus. And Bogus has referenced this a couple of times now recently on the show that he didn't really follow it. I followed it. Basically, what you did was, if everybody had a ballot, 1 through 12.
Yes.
And you took the vote. Essentially, what you did was almost like how they tally
golf scores.
Okay. I would have said almost like Cy Young awards or college football rankings, where you would assess the number one candidate would get 12 points. In your case, though, you did the number one candidate, got 1 point. And so, like golf, lowest score wins.
Lowest score wins. So basically, and the way this works is, so if you didn't vote for something, like we had something like 40 candidates, would you say? I forgot the exact number of candidates we had for the 12 DAs that we pulled throughout the year. Whatever it was, if you didn't vote for something, like whatever wasn't in your 1 through 12, automatically got a number 13 next to it. And the reason for that is obviously, you know, like there was a case we talked about last week where Pete voted something number 2, but none of us had it voted in our top 12. So essentially, we all gave it a 13. But by leveling it out with a 13 for everything else, if you really voted something high up that nobody else thought, your vote mattered because it would be a way to get that creeping up a little bit. So if you had the lowest cumulative score, whatever the lowest cumulative score was, is going to be the number 112 DA, because that means we've either voted 1, 2, 3, you know, however that works, so on and so forth. So the top 12 lowest scores are 1 through 12, you know, and then based on if there was stuff tied, it would be based on who had a higher ranking of it compared to others. I had certain tiebreak scenarios that made sense. Even if I don't explain it well, my scoring system to me makes the perfect sense for how we do this.
Well, yeah, it's simple to explain. There's 5 ballots, me, you, Bogish, Bilotti, and Cap. And if everybody voted 112 DA number 1, that would get a total score of 5. That's the highest score you could possibly have.
Yes.
Number 5, or 5 total points, would be the first overall number 1 of the 12 DAs. Like golf, lowest score. If everybody voted the same thing 12, it'd be 12 times 5. That'd be the total points. And then if somebody had something that was not other people's ballots, it's essentially coming in at number 13.
Right.
So the only thing that I would say is, what happens if somebody has 2 things or 3 things that aren't on other people's ballots? Do all of those things get 13, or do you stack them as 13, 14, and 15?
All right, so that's a good question. Again, if we, like, let's say Pete had 3 things the rest of us didn't include, we would all have voted technically those things with a number 13 next to them.
Okay.
So it would be 4 13s added with whatever Pete's number is. So no matter what, that's still going to get a cumulative score. But then Pete has left out stuff that maybe we all graded higher. So let's say we all had something at 6 that Pete didn't have on his list. So Pete's would get a 13, and it would get 4 sixes. So ours would still rank higher than his based on tallying up the votes. So no matter what, you're getting a score, 5 scores added together to give you a number. And very rarely is there a tie somewhere along the line that I need to figure out to break. But, yeah, and it'll give you the 12 lowest scores. We'll still get there one way or another. Because there's so many different votes. It's not 2 people. It's 5 people.
Yeah, I think the math actually shakes out. I think it makes sense.
How about that? Me figuring out something math-wise. Which is really the irony of the whole thing is I am the worst math student here, arguably the worst educational student here, and yet our biggest event to end the year, I'm the one entrusted with calculating, adding, dividing, figuring everything out, you know, and editing all of it. Somehow I'm given the biggest technical education project of the year at the end of the year, even though I'm the least worthy enough to do it.
Yeah, it's true. It might be a flaw in our system of trusting you with all of the math, but you've developed the system, and it goes to show you, you actually are okay if you're engaged in the project. You don't mind doing this because you really like doing the rankings.
Love
even
it.
Though it's math and adding and division, you actually like this.
It's my favorite part of the year. I love the 12 DAs. I love the debate that goes, like, everything that we talk about where maybe is my negative stuff. Like, I love going after people and debating. Well, I love the debate of the 12 DAs. I love seeing where everybody's mindset is. I love seeing how people value certain things compared to me. And then most importantly, I love when the votes come in and it reminds me of when I was a kid in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium punching the All-Star game ballots and seeing if my vote ended up coming down. I love everything that goes into the 12 DAs. And in the end, the payoff is we all get to laugh for 20 days. Like, that is the ultimate best part of it.
I wonder if your math would have been better if in school you just dedicated yourself to baseball statistics and football statistics.
It absolutely would have been. That's how I learned to do math and reading when I grew up. Like, the first things I ever did math-wise were my dad every Sunday showing me the box score. I could figure out a batting average before I figured out how to ever do those things where it was like the square root and the whatever the boxes were over the numbers and divide. Like, the moment we had X's and squares, I didn't know. But, you know, if a guy went 10 for 15, I could figure out your batting average in basically 25 seconds.
Goes to show you, you know, maybe we should start teaching kids like you in school math based on sports statistics. or video game stats and stuff like that, things that kids would care about.
Instead of whatever random math that they throw at you, like in 9th grade, 10th grade, and you're like, why are we learning this? Give me sports statistics as a math class. You'll find kids finding their way into college a lot easier.
Maybe even Duke.
Yeah, maybe even Duke with a little quarterback rating class. Why not?
So is today the return of swing or a miss?
It is not.
Okay.
Now next week is.
Okay.
Last week was supposed to be the return of swing or a miss. Then things got convoluted with what day we could tape and everything like that. Bogus got too busy for it. I did not do it this week because now this week, now that we've played another 4-12 DAs since it, I find it very important and critical during the 12 DAs to do as much 12 DA talk on the PGP as possible. And especially coming off a Tuesday show where on top of that we had so much other madness going on that I don't want to shoehorn a swing or a miss where that may not be where the listeners care the most right now for the PGP.
Okay. I was willing to read through some trashes this morning here on the show if I didn't get to them, or on the PGP if I didn't get to them on the show. But you know what? I got to them all on the show, so good job by me. So that will wrap up a little Side A action. Here comes Mr. Bogues and Mraz breaking down the 12 DAs on Side B.
Howdy, do-do-do-do-do-do. Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays. It's Side B of the PGP. It's Mraz. It's Bogish. It is a glorious week here. December, the weather's chilly. Brrr. Unless you're in Florida or Arizona or Southern California, in which case, good for you. Enjoy your warm weather. Bogish, hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, Sean. How are you?
I'm tremendous, man. I am tremendous. So DA and I just finished up Side A of the PGP. Obviously got into a lot of the Schwartz madness, which is just, it's unbelievable. This guy stays on the tip of our tongue, which leads us into the 12 DAs because Peter Schwartz doing election coverage was a big part of the 12 DAs of Christmas. It was 12 DA number 11. We had 12 DA number 12 on Monday's show, which as I'm saying this, I'm drawing a complete blank, and I just knew what it was. I just had it in front of me. Do you remember what the 12 DA was, number 12, or am I just completely botching this right now?
No.
Ed,
no.
It was Ed and Dunks.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you, Pete.
Do Mothership at the Movies. That's why Pete the Body gets paid the big bucks. So, here we stand.
Did you say big bucks or big buck?
Big buck.
The plural?
One single
big
buck. That's buck. One
and it's big
buck. It is big. So we have those two go off the board. Obviously, we finished off last week with the first four out, which concluded with Bilotti and myself absolutely at each other's throats, which was a hysterical moment. So, Bogus, you obviously were a part of the voting process. Any surprises to you to this point? Anything that you feel we might have gotten wrong? Obviously, we know what Pete's gripe was on Trash Tuesday. Your overall theme and thought as now we embark on the final 10, 12 DAs.
Yeah. So, in retrospect, as I said on the air Tuesday morning, I do think the door opened on Schwartz election coverage to throw Pete's baby rant in. I think Ed has to stay. I don't think any of the other 10 that are coming really could lose their spot. But I do think that there is a valid argument. It's not one that should necessarily, that Schwartz election coverage should lose. But I do think if you were looking for one to get Pete in, this would be the one that you could pick at and maybe find an opening. Because, and maybe it's just, I've heard it like three or four times in a short amount of time between it happening live and then listening to it again while we were voting and then twice again on Tuesday's show. It was funnier what we did after the clip in both segments on Tuesday than the clip itself, if that makes sense. Like our reaction to it and what we did off it was funnier than Schwartz election coverage. So I think this one is probably the weakest of the 11. Doesn't mean it has to come out, but I think this is the place. If you're looking for a spot for Pete, this is where you would go.
Interesting thought. So now that we say this, I'm going to, in real time, bring up the 12 DAs of Christmas list. And the reason I said I have everybody's votes calculated here, and I would like to know where maybe some of us went awry. Do you think it's fair to say where everybody had this moment voted? Do you think it's fair to release that part? I don't have to release everybody else's full ballot.
Check. I think so. Yeah, no, I think that's okay. I personally don't mind.
All right, so as we mentioned on Side A of the PGP, Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, Pete the Body Bilotti, myself, Andrew Bogus, and DA, five votes tallied for all of this. So I will tell you right now that Andrew Kaplan had this out of his top 12 and had it as a first four out, the Peter Schwartz election coverage. Okay? So Kaplan did not find it worthy enough. Now, Kaplan also had it ranked one spot ahead of his baby races at the Pelican Games. Now, I didn't ask for everybody's first four out, but Kaplan did that and ranked them one through four. So he found it funnier there. He at least ranked that. DA, as far as the Schwartz election coverage went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He had it at number 12. He had it as his 12 DA. That, and then he did not have Pete's baby races at all ranked anywhere, including his first four out. Pete the Body Bellotti. Baby races. Pete had the baby races on his first four out. And Pete had
okay, well, then this is over.
Pete, hold on now, Pete. Is Pete here? Where's Pete? Pete did a Trash Tuesday on Tuesday telling us how we screwed him on his baby races thing and that Schwartz's election coverage wasn't funnier. Bokish, Pete writes in his first four out, Bellotti hates baby races, and his number 11, where this fell, DA does Schwartz election coverage. So where this is a breaking turn of events in real time, folks, that we didn't get into in Side A of the PGP. Pete had an issue with where we ranked the Schwartz election coverage, although it fell on the exact place he voted it.
I'm here.
While voting the baby races as part of his first four out.
My mistake.
So, Pete, you're the one complaining. This is actually where this landed is exactly where you wanted
to
land.
I told DA in the break, and it was a mistake on my part in terms of my trash. My trash should have been directed at the way it was ranked. It should have been directed at myself for actually being below Peter Schwartz and Monkey. So that's my mistake. So the trash should be at me for my rant not being good enough to be above those things.
All right, and as we continue, Andrew Bogish had the Schwartz election coverage ranked at number 11 where it fell and did not have the baby races even in his first four out he listed here. So again, both of you gentlemen, you know, all the shots of we don't know how Mraz calculates these things. As it turns out, both of you had this at number 11 where it fell, which tells me, A, my math is pretty good. Oh, and who is this now? Oh, that's you still at number 11. And then where did I have this? I had the Schwartz election coverage at number 11 as well. So three of us had it at number 11. DA had it at number 12. Kaplan had it on the first four out. Only one that had the baby races on, I believe, the first four out was Pete. So I guess they had his gripe. So you know what? We're sitting here, and I'm breaking down the 12DA scene if we screwed up, and maybe in hindsight when we listen back in real time, we can all admit we all made a mistake, but I don't want to hear finger-pointing at who made a mistake here, especially from Pete on his trash, and frankly, it seems like when all of us had these clips to listen to, three of us thought this was the exact spot it landed.
Yeah, we did a bad job on this, for sure. And I'm looking at my list right now, by the way, and I don't have that Phil Keto at all, and I've listed four out. I have 16 segments here. I must have somehow missed that because I was handwriting things and moving things around. I don't know how I missed it, but it's not on my list at all. How did I do that? I should be disbanded just for that oversight. Well,
now
shame on me for this.
I'm going to defend you. It is hard. When there's 40-something candidates, this is the most candidates we ever had, it's hard to not leave something special out, and you have something that maybe you want. It's almost like when Hall of Fame voters, and you wonder, like, how did this guy not get unanimous? Guys want a favor and, you know, have another guy propped up on a ballot. That's kind of what can happen here. But, I mean, even you, Bogues, your number 12 you had ranked was the Ed versus Dunstan checks in. So as far as we're concerned, the list the first 2 days has gone
to a T
you voted as. So your votes have been on point. So, again, we could always listen, and then when all these 12 moments are over, we've all laughed and had a good time with them, and all you listeners listening, that you guys all enjoy these 12 DAs, and it's why we keep doing it every year, it should be noted, I mean, whatever I'm calculating, whatever I'm getting questioned on, is exactly what you guys are choosing. Now, we might have a problem with it afterwards and realize we all screwed up, but everybody had the audio this year to listen to, and if you didn't listen to the audio and then make that determination and waited for these to be played, well, shame on all of you.
I think it's the like you said, it's the second look. It's the first time you look at the list, and then because you're looking at it at a different time, you're probably looking at it not really. You're engaged in it, but you're not as engaged in it as if you're doing it on the show. So the second time it comes around, then you get into the arguments that we've been having. So I don't know how you sort through that eventually, but it's good for a talk debate.
I think that's absolutely accurate. And look, now we're going to get into, gentlemen, from this point forward, from the time this PGP is taping, which will also include the final 3 days of this week, because we are doing this PGP on a Tuesday, the top 10 moments of the year, as voted on by everybody on the show, will happen, and some are going to be very classic. I think only the controversy is only going to grow as far as what the greatest moment was. And I'm going to give you a hot take here on the PGP. Without revealing what it is, I believe we screwed up on what number one is voted.
Well, I don't know where you're going on this yet, but if I'm remembering correctly from the final lineup that you sent, I disagree with what's number one. It was not my number one. But
I do too.
But I don't know if I go as far as saying screwed up.
Well, I think when we get to and we realize what's going to be played in these final 10, I think what will, and this is going to be the biggest tease for everybody to sit there and wonder what is the number one 12 DA of the year. I am looking just on a basis, and I will tell you that it appears to me that two of you had what became number one as your number one. And I believe that we are going to look back when number one is played and realize this is the most controversial number one we've ever played, because I think we will look back and think we might have overvalued it a bit. How about that?
Oh, you think it's okay. All right.
I think we were overvaluing it a bit. I put it this way. I had it ranked a lot lower than everybody else did. And I believe you guys will come around to that. So, look, the point I'm trying to make here without telling everybody, revealing what's ahead, is to tell you this. We are having a screaming and yelling match over Pete arguing about babies crawling on a Pelican's floor over Schwartz's election coverage. Like, the most ridiculous moments. We're already having those arguments. And my point is, I think the heat in this sauna is going to get turned up even more on the 12 DAs as far as controversy to come, is my prediction. And Bogus, and way, I tend to think you feel the same way as me.
Yeah, I at least am going to strongly defend what I think is number one when it's not number one, and I don't remember where it actually falls now, but when we play it, I am going to go to the mat for this clip, as it should have. It is, to me, it defines everything about this show, and that's why it was the only one I wrote down immediately. And I put it down right away because I just knew that nothing was going to jump it. And it should have been your unanimous number one. And the fact that it's not even number one, let alone on unanimous, is still surprising to me.
And I will tell everybody this. So if you're looking for that day to happen, Bogus's number one ends up being the number three 12 DA of Christmas. Okay? So remember that. Bogus is going to go to the mat as his number one being what he believes is the number one 12 DA, and it ends up being the number three 12 DA of Christmas. So if you guys have had it with controversy, get ready, because the next 2 weeks are going to be chock full of it as we fight each other to the death. And I believe the top two moments of the year on the DA show will be the number two and the number four 12 DAs this year. So I'm not revealing anything. I'm having a lot of fun with numbers here. But again, the point I'm trying to make by going through all of this right now is to tell you that we are fighting each other over something, again, that should be noted, that Pete got exactly where he wanted and still disagreed with it, which is so typical of Pete. And that's where we are with the 12 DAs of Christmas.
Second thought.
It has been an unbelievable 2 days. My head hurts. Everybody's fighting with each other and arguing over what gets voted where, what gets voted what. And there's so much more to go. As I mentioned on Side A, this is my absolute favorite part of the show every year, is these 12 DAs. It's unbelievable that we've already started an archive on the 12 DAs of 2021 before the balls even dropped at Times Square. It is just incredible. So we will leave that there, Bogus. Plenty of fun to come with the 12 DAs. You can follow you on Twitter.
At Andrew Bogus.
You can follow Pete and all his search for homes on Twitter. At Pete, you still there? You got a Twitter
I'm
handle?
I'm still here.
All right, what's
at
your Twitter
Pete
handle?
The Body.
At Pete the Body. I'm Pete the Body. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MarazCDS. Have a great week, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.